Blog Talk Radio.
Are you due for a relationship makeover? If you had the power to wave a magic wand, would you use it to improve your relationship? Well, there may be some hope. You're about to embark upon a journey that may prove to be vital in improving your relationship, whether it be with your spouse, significant other, children, coworker, family, friends, or even yourself. A journey that if you simply open your mind to desiring a positive change in your relationship by listening to this show, it just might happen. You're about to take a journey into the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Warning, the show can be contagious.
Hello and welcome, everybody. We do apologize. We've had some technical difficulties here, but we're here now. Pastor Roll, we want to go ahead and welcome you to tonight's broadcast. Good to have you with us. Thank you for joining us.
Well, great to be on the show, and if I had to hold on for an hour, I would hold on because it's well worth it with the subject or the topic that we're going to be talking about tonight. And we love you and we appreciate you and all of our hosts and co-hosts and family and friends are on the show. We love you, and God bless you, and thanks for being on the show.
All right, well, good to have you here with us. Press 1 if you're joining us tonight, if you want to get into the queue. So we're glad that you all are here, and we certainly appreciate you being with us tonight. So tonight we're going to invite the Lord into our presence. God, please be with us in the show tonight. Do you know the blessings we thank in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost? Amen. So let me begin asking a question. Let me go here to Shield of Faith. Shield of Faith, welcome to tonight's broadcast. Good to have you.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Okay, good. Shield of Faith, while I've got you on here, let me ask the question. Do you think that God imposes his will on us? Does he impose his will on us?
No, I don't think so. I think that that we have to seek his will and want to do his will. I don't think that he allows things to happen. I don't think he causes things to happen. But by our choices, different things can happen in our lives. But I don't think that he imposes his will on anyone.
You don't think he imposes his will on us?
Yeah.
Wow, really? Okay, Pastor Roll, what do you think?
Well, I don't feel I agree with my sister that he does not impose his will, but we know a segment of the Lord's Prayer that his will is going to be done, you know, and if you don't acquiesce to his will, he's got ways of putting fire on you to get his will accomplished, as he did with Jonah that was disobedient. But God didn't impose his will, but he caused that him to be swallowed up with the whale. But after a little while, he heard the voice, and he acquiesced into the will of God and went and did what God had asked him to do. Back to you, Dr. Walker.
Okay, so Pastor Roll, let's stay with you just for a moment. So isn't that God imposes his will on Jonah's life? Because if Jonah didn't want to go to Nineveh, and so he chose to go in a different direction, but God chose his circumstances to take place that caused him now, after all of this here took place, then later he was rushing over there to Nineveh. So isn't that sort of like God had his will to be done?
Well, yes, his will is going to be done, but he's not going to make you do anything, you know, with my understanding, you know. But he'll give you the opportunity, you know, and he loves us so much that if we don't give in to his desires, you know, he's got ways of expediting the process.
Isn't that God's will? Isn't that his will? It's either you're going to do it the way that I tell you if you want eternal life. Then you do it. My will. Aren't His Ten Commandments His will for us? Isn't it His will that none should be lost, but all should be saved?
But we know also, you know, that obedience, you know, is better than sacrifice. You know, we can, we know that God is going to bring us through, you know, as He did with the boys that was thrown into the fiery furnace. You know, they trusted God that He would take care of them when they was in that fiery furnace, you know. But God, you know, but He doesn't impose. I never seen where He just say, I'm going to make you do this or make you do that. But He's got ways of having you to hear His voice and incline your ear to His supplications. That's my thoughts on that.
Let me ask you to stand by. Shield of Faith, let's bring you back in here this evening. And okay. We ask a question, and if you all want to chime in, certainly press one on your dial. So the question becomes, isn't it God's will? Wasn't it God's will that Jonah go over to Nineveh? And because he didn't want to go, God caused those circumstances where he ultimately went. Is that not God imposing His will?
No, I mean, he still didn't have to go even after he was swallowed by the fish and spit out. He could have turned around and gone another way. Still had choices to make.
Okay.
God got his
But
Pastor Rose said he disagreed with me, but then he turned around and said the same thing, like, imposing means to, like, establish, like, bring something on by force. So exactly like I said the same thing he said, God does not force us to do anything. He gives us opportunities, just like Pastor Rose said, I agree with that. We either choose to take it or we don't. Now, His will is always going to be accomplished through, it might not be through me or you, but He's going to accomplish His will, you know, no matter what. So.
Okay, we're going to have to stand by. Let's go to Dee from Georgia. Dee, thank you for your patience and thank you for joining us this evening. Dee, I want to go ahead and ask you this question here. Do you think God imposes His will on us? Is it going to be His way or no way at all?
No, I don't really think He imposes His will so much as He imposes consequences or things to happen based on your disobedience to the Holy Spirit. Depending on what it is or what you deal with, well, you still have a choice. So either you choose to be obedient and follow the Spirit and do His will, or you don't, and you've got a lot of other stuff to get to, and you may decide to do that anyway, depending on what you choose. If you want it, you know, if it's how bad it is or how what it is you have to go through. But I don't think He imposes it. He allows us to know that if you don't be obedient, there's going to be something else that you may not like to happen.
Right, okay.
But to impose it, He's not forcing us to do anything.
Okay, so if you're a parent, let's say, Dee from Georgia, you are a parent, and you're telling you have three kids, and you're telling your three kids that you have chores that you do when you come home from school. If these chores are not done by the time I get home at 6 o'clock tonight, then the child that has not done his chores or her chores, you're going to be placed on punishment. So now, okay, they can either do that or not to do that. So now let's say one of your kids is Jack. Jack decides, well, you know, I'll just take the punishment because I'm tired of washing dishes all the time. And so now, isn't it your will that he washes those dishes? That's his chore? And if he doesn't, you're going to punish him. Now, you want your will to be done, right? Your will
right.
is for him to wash the dishes. So if he doesn't, you're going to punish him. So why can't he just give him peas and eat with what you provide for him? But did you not impose your will on him? Did you? Because if he didn't, you're going to punish him.
Exactly. He will have consequences.
Okay.
He will have something happening. He doesn't want that to happen then. He needs to follow his spirit, which is going to tell him to do what I told him to do, or else he's got something else to deal with that he's not going
right.
to like.
So, right. So isn't that the ultimate goal is your will, right? It is not his will. If he could have his own free will, he says, I'm not washing no dishes. I'm tired. Why can't I just eat and breathe and sleep? You know, and you take care of me. I mean, isn't that your job as a parent? You want your will to be done. You want us to clean this house. You know, why we have to clean the house? You know, you are our parent. Why can't you just do it all for us? So, and then you're saying, Mom, if we don't do it, you're going to punish us. Is that fair?
Yes, it's very fair.
Is that fair?
I'm also, yes, it's very fair because I've also instilled in them what the word says pertaining to obedience as far as mother and father. And they know that there's a position they're in and what they're supposed to do in order for things to work out for them, kind of sort of like us and God. You know, there's certain things we know we're supposed to do, and if we don't do them, then we're going to go through something else regardless. So either we can go ahead and do what he told us to do or go through some changes and later on end up deciding to do it anyway. But the consequences are not good when you're disobedient, whether it's the child to the parent or us to God.
All
but
right,
imposing the will, it is, we are subjecting them to, I mean, giving them a choice, but we as the parents still are to maintain our position.
All right, we're going to ask you to stand by. Shield of Faith, let me go back to you with that scenario. The same scenario that we gave Dee from Georgia. And you got these three kids. And you're clearly telling them, you don't do these chores, you're going to be placed on punishment. So Jack says, I'm not doing it. He's telling his siblings, I'm not doing it. I'm just going to take the punishment. Can't Jack accept his free will? Jack just wants to eat and sleep and play. Okay, why does he have to work? Huh?
Me too. I just want to eat.
I know, right? Exactly.
Yeah.
So, yep. You know, but now all of a sudden now you're saying, Jack, you know, I'm imposing my will on you because I want this house clean. Well, why,
right.
You know, why does Jack have to, Jack and the others have to do all of that? Why can't they? I mean, isn't it your will for the house to be cleaned?
It is my will for the house to be clean, and it is
okay,
my will
so
for everybody.
If they don't clean it, you're going to punish them. Is that fair for them?
Everybody participates. I'm going to do my share as well.
I see. Okay. All right. But it's your will, right? It's your will that the house is clean.
It is my will that the house is clean.
Okay. All right. Okay, so
and if I make them clean it, that's me imposing my will on them, yes. But God does not force us or make us do what he wants us to do. Now, he can lead us and guide us and put people in our paths that might help us to make great decisions or books, or there's all types of resources around prayer to him, his word. I mean, so he doesn't force us to love him. He wants us to, but he doesn't force us to.
He doesn't force us to.
No,
right. Pastor, let me go back to you. No, go ahead. Go ahead.
No, I said, that's different than me forcing my kids to do something. That's different. God's not going to force me to love him or accept him as my Savior. He gives me a choice in that.
Okay, so still, okay, let's go on back over there to Jonah then. So back
okay.
to Jonah. Jonah did not want to go to Nineveh. In fact, he wanted to go in the opposite direction. So why is it that, you know, God caused these circumstances when that wasn't Jonah's will?
Well, he was trying to get his attention. Trying to get his attention so that he would make the right choice.
Okay. All right.
He's still chosen not to go.
Okay, all right. Okay. Once again, if you're just joining us, tonight's topic is, does God impose his will on us? There's some who say that God does impose his will on us. And we, if you want to speak to that issue tonight, press 1. We would love to get your opinions and your thoughts. Does God impose his will? What is God's will? What is God's will, Pastor Rowe?
It's not God's will that any should perish, but all should inherit eternal life. You know, that's his will. And we have to make choices, you know. You know, the scripture says, you know, choose you this day whom you will serve. And it says, for me, my heart, we will serve the Lord. But then in scripture, we find where it says, not my will, but thine will be done. And but Christ became obedient to the death, you know, to death, even the death of the cross. That's why God gave him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee is going to bow, so and every tongue is going to confess. But what if Jesus had not went by the way of the cross? Where would we be today? You know, think about it, knowing that you're going to be spit on, crucified, and stuck with knives and swords, you know. But he endured it, you know, because where would we be if he had not made the choice to go to the cross, you know. And so he chose the way of the cross, you know, and every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus is Lord, because he was obedient and we need to follow his example. So that's my thoughts on that, Dr. Walker.
All right. Just before we go to our next caller, we're going to just share something with you all. We certainly do. Normally, Ms. J would give us our disclaimer. She's not with us on the program tonight. But I do want to say that we respect all opinions, even if we differ in our views or viewpoints on other people's opinion. All right. Let's go to the phone line. Having said that, let's go to Patricia here. Patricia, thank you for joining us. Patricia, it's a nice topic, and the question is, does God impose his will on us? What do you think? And if you think so, tell us why. What makes you believe that? If not, give us a rationale behind that as well.
I'll begin. Thank you, Dr. Walker. God is sovereign, and his will be done. If
Amen.
If I go to the scripture and I look at Acts, the 9th chapter, Saul, for those that are familiar, was a persecutor of those that preach and believe in the gospel. On the road to Damascus, Jesus, God spoke to Saul, and he caused him to lose his sight. And he went to Ananias in a dream and told him to go and find Saul. And he made Saul preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul became one of the greatest supporters of the gospel of Jesus Christ, not because he wanted to, but because of God's sovereignty. It was God's will that Saul stop persecuting those who believed on Jesus. And he imposed his will on Saul, and he became Paul, the preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And there are other examples in the Bible. God is sovereign, and his will be done because he's God.
Okay, so Patricia, let me ask you this. Patricia, okay, if you were to answer that question with a yes or a no, what would be your free choice?
My answer would be yes.
So you're saying that God imposes his will on us?
Yes. Yes, he does.
All right.
He will
so
impose
then
his will so
Patricia,
that,
let me stay with
so
you
that his
second.
Work will be done. Mm-hmm.
All right, so let me stay with you for a second then. If that's
okay.
The case, where does our individual free will come into play? Where does it come into play?
God does give us choices, right? But if it is his will that we, I'll give an example, and I think there are many preachers who can attest to this. There are a lot of preachers of the gospel in church today that fought and ran from God, did not want to get in the pulpit and did not want to preach God's word. God shook them in a way that they could not keep themselves from responding to him. They are in the pulpit preaching because it was his will that he wanted to use them to preach his gospel. And so they had to be obedient to that will, because God will shake you in a way, just like you were talking about the children a little while ago with the parents and, you know, the kids not wanting to do their chores and the parents saying, oh, yes, but you will, because it's my will that you do that. That's the same way God shakes us. He will shake us and move us in a way that will cause us to do something that we didn't necessarily want to do. But because it is his will and because he is sovereign, you know, we often ask the question, what is God's will for my life? But I would cause us to pause this evening and say, that's not the question. The question is, what is God's will? Because that is why we are here. We are here for his praise. We are here to lift him up, and his will be done.
All right, we're going to ask you to stand by. Shield of faith. We got some who are saying that God does impose his will, and we're having others that say God does not impose his will. So, okay, mm-hmm. Like in the case with the kids, it's the parents' uh-huh. will that house is clean. Otherwise, there's a consequence if they don't clean it. So they may have a free choice of choosing not to, but they're going to be punished. So is that rightful that if I have a free choice not to do it, so then, you know, God created us. So where does that free choice come in? And then secondly, if that's the case, then the divorce, why doesn't God just cause everybody to stay married if that's his will? Talk to me on that. And then we're going to bring in Sir Ben in a moment. Go ahead.
Okay. So we say that God imposes his will on us, and Pastor Rose said God's will is for all to be saved, which I agree with from the Bible. His will is for all to be saved. And he imposes his will. The answer to that is yes. That means that everybody would be saved, and we know that that's not the truth. We know that God gives us a choice. We can accept him as Lord and Savior, or we can turn and walk away. We all know people who don't believe in God or don't believe in Christ or don't serve him or will never, or, you know, say they will never accept him. And God's not going to impose his will on them. Yes, he's sovereign. Yes, his will be done. He will find another way through somebody else that will accept him and will love him. I think that if talking about divorce, people have choices, and that's why there is divorce. If God imposed his will on every marriage, they would stay together. Nobody would get divorced. If God imposed his will on everybody, there would be no hate, because God is love. And if he imposes his will upon you, you're going to love. My opinion.
All right. Shield of Faith, I want to stay with you for a moment then. Shield of Faith, if I'm looking for a woman, let's just say, hypothetically, and I'm praying to God, and I've been praying for a long time to find the right woman, and that woman hasn't come along, then isn't it God's will that the man should not be alone? Isn't it God's will? And I'm saying mankind, woman too. We're social beings. Yeah. He made us that way. So why can't God give me a woman or give a woman a man so that they don't have to be alone?
Yeah, that definitely. You can pray. You can pray for something, and God's timing is perfect, so it's not going to be your timing maybe. It might take 1 year. It might take 1 month. But his timing is perfect. So if you pray for something, and you don't have to pray and beg and beg and beg. Once you pray and ask, he's heard your prayer, and then you thank him for when the answer comes.
The faith, if that's the case, let me ask, if you have children, do you pray for your children every day? Every day?
I do pray for them. I pray for them every
day. Okay, so if we only need to pray that one time and he heard us, then why are we praying every day the same prayer to protect my kids You know, didn't he hear you 5 years ago when you prayed that prayer?
No, I don't pray the same prayer. I pray for different things for them. I pray for, you know, different reasons and different things for them. I don't always ask her the same thing.
Okay. So let's say that they're 30 and 35. Would you say that over the span of their life, you have prayed for 35 or 30 years for different things so that you don't be redundant in your prayers for them?
No, that's not why. I pray for what the needs are for the day. And I'm not saying it's wrong to ask for the same thing or pray the same prayer. I'm not saying that's wrong. I'm just saying sometimes I think we fall into a habit of, like, begging, God, give me a man. God, give me a woman. God, give me a man. Give me a woman. And God says, I heard you, and my timing is different than yours, and your prayer, you know, will be answered. Or the answer might be no. I mean, so that's something to think about as well. I'm not saying it's wrong to pray the same prayer every day. What I'm saying is a lot of times I think we beg and plead as if God hasn't heard us. And
All right, we're going to ask you to stand by, Sheila Faye. Let's bring in Sir Ben. Okay. Sir Ben, thank you for joining us. Sir Ben, welcome to tonight's broadcast.
Good evening. It's a pleasure to be here.
All right, Sir Ben, would you say that God, first of all, let me begin by asking you this question. Do you believe that God imposed his will on us?
I believe that God has the ultimate ability to use whoever he wants to use. And when I say use, I don't mean that use in the carnal sense, how we think of it. We think of using as we're getting over or taking advantage of somebody. God will use whomever he desires to get whatever his will for glory to be done. He can actually use your enemies to help lift you up, to help save you, to help point you in a different direction. So he can use whomever he chooses. Now, is a play on words when we say he's imposing his will? Absolutely. He created us. He made us. He made the world. He made everything in the world. So why cannot the creator of everything impose his will on us? The question that was put to him was, they only serve you because. That's what the enemy posed to God. They only serve you because they don't have a choice. He gives us choices, and that is our free will. Now, we can exercise that choice for his glory, or we can exercise that choice for our own demise. He has no desire for us to be lost. It's just like our children. We can have children from the same lot, same die, same everything, same genetic pool, and you'll have three or four. Three of them will be great. The other one has a little bit more difficulty, and you have to pray differently for them. It doesn't mean that they're bad or different. It's just that there's something about their choices that are different. It doesn't mean that they're bad people. It's just that he has to grow them differently. We all grow differently. We all respond differently. But the ultimate goal is, whether you're early, you're middle, or young or old, is that we all get to the place to say, God wants and desires to have us to live everlasting life. He created Adam and Eve, and they still had their issues, but he still saved them.
All right, so, Sir Ben, okay, let's go back for a moment. So you're saying that if you were to answer that question yes or no, would you say that God does impose his will on us?
Yes.
He does. So then, if that's the case, I'm going to ask you the question I asked earlier. Then where does our free choice come in? So it almost seems like we don't have a choice. We're going to either do it God's way or we're going to be punished.
No, we do have a choice. The imposing of the will that I'm referring to is to help those who have already chosen him to get closer and better. Remember, he knows the beginning, the middle, and the end. So he already knows how it's going to play out. All we're seeing is just the blueprint or the path. See, a lot of times we get stuck on the place where our feet are supposed to be. No, he wants us to be focused on the path because the path leads to where we're supposed to be. Sometimes we go to a place and we think, oh, that's his promise. No, that's not his promise. It was just a place along the path that he brought us to, and we weren't supposed to stay there forever. We were just supposed to be there for a minute and then keep on moving because he had other things for us down the road.
All right, we're going to ask you to stand by. Dee from Georgia, I want to bring you back in, Dee. we've got a deep one tonight. Does God impose his will on us? Some are saying yes, some are saying no. So, D, then we talk about free will, and we brought up, you know, it was brought up about Jonah. It was brought up about three kids whose parents, like, my will is to have this house clean. If y'all don't clean this house, you're going to be placed on punishment. So where is their free choice? If they, it's like, okay, Mama, you say I got free choice, then I shouldn't have to wash the dishes. But if I don't wash them, exercising my free will, you're going to punish me. How, D, once again, how is that fair? I don't want to wash the dishes.
First of all, I didn't give them free will. So they don't have free will. They can make a choice to do it or not to do it, but based on the consequences that they know that they're going to get from not doing it, they'll choose to. And they'll have to make that choice as long as they're in my house. They don't have free will. But when they are on their own, they can disobey all they want to. But
we're in God's world. The universe, everything belongs to God. So what free will, what free choice do we really have? It's either you're going to do it this way or not. You're going to suffer the consequences for not doing it the way I want you to do it. Help me with that.
As an adult with God, not as the children in the parents' house. That's different. But
we're God's children.
Will.
We're all God's
yes,
children.
We are.
So where is our choice? Living in his world, his universe.
I mean, that's the choice. Either you do, you know, you be obedient or be disobedient.
There's okay, so do we have free
for being
choice?
Disobedient.
We have free will. So, okay, but
you
there's a
have
consequence.
Free will. You have free choice. You can make a choice. Either do it or not do it. Basically, that's it.
But
you either do it, you either be obedient or not obedient, and there will be consequences if you don't. But we still have a choice. That's our free will. We can choose to do it or not to do it. We can choose to deal with consequences or not deal with them. We
okay,
can choose
so,
to obey or not.
Okay, all right. We're going to ask you to stand by. Patricia, let me bring you back in here. Our four parents, Adam and Eve, they exercise their free will to partake of the forbidden fruit. So there was a consequence. There was a consequence to their disobedience, but they exercised their free will. So the consequence to exercise their free will, you know, comes into play and with the question of, and I'm posing this question to you, did God tempt them? Did he tempt them with that tree being in the midst of the garden, the middle of the garden, did he tempt them?
God does not tempt us.
Amen.
He will test us, but he will never tempt us into sin.
Hmm.
And so that's response to that question. And the gentleman,
okay.
I apologize, name
go ahead,
that
go
was
ahead.
Speaking.
So, yeah, but let me ask you this question. Patricia, all right, will God lead us into temptation then if he doesn't tempt us? Will he lead us into temptation? Did he lead Adam and Eve into temptation?
No, he did not because God does not tempt us.
Okay, so D, let me stand by for a second, D. I mean, not D. Stand by for a second, Patricia. So, Patricia, when the disciples asked Jesus to teach them to pray, part of that prayer was, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. So isn't that an inference, Patricia? Think about this question. Could that be an inference that you could be led into temptation, but Jesus, the Son of God, prayed to the Father saying, lead us not into temptation? So what does that mean? How do you speak to that?
Satan leads us into temptation.
He was talking to his father. He was talking to his father. He was teaching them to pray.
He wasn't praying to the devil.
He was praying to his father, Patricia.
Yes, he was teaching them to pray.
All right, somebody is making noise in the background, like washing the dishes or something. Please mute your phone, please. But go ahead, Patricia.
Yeah, he was teaching them how to pray. And lead us not into temptation but deliver us from evil. That's us not allowing Satan to lead us into temptation, but asking God to deliver us from evil.
All right, we're going to ask you to stand by. We're going to ask you to stand by. Sir Ben, let me bring you in here. I mean, this is, all right, there's an inference, you all. There's an inference. Jesus was talking to his Father. He was not speaking to the devil. You know, when he was speaking to the devil, it was when he was on the mount and he had come out of a 40-day fast, and the devil tried to tempt him. You know, Jesus was, somebody's still making noise in the background. It's really disturbing to the studio. So Jesus was talking to the Father, and he taught them to pray, lead us not into temptation. So why is that in there if he's not talking to the Father? Sir Ben, let's bring you in here for that one.
Okay, well, let's just get a little bit of a background. A lot of times we forget the most important factor is that Satan can't do anything to us unless God allows him to do it. We forget that most important thing. Even with Job, he said to him, have you not considered my servant Job? He said, you got him protected, which means that even Satan has to get permission to do stuff to us. Let's go back. Even Satan has to get permission. He allows him to do things to us. Even when we're praying, a lot of people may not even understand this. When we're praying to the Father, and if you go back and read that passage, if you notice that when he was praying to the Father, the enemy was not bothering him at that point. He waited because he was at that point at a weakened state. That weakened state was to let us know that there will be times in our lives that we're going to be weak, we're going to be vulnerable, that we're going to be able to have the enemy skin into our minds and speak to us. That was just a representation to let us know that when we are in communion with our Father, because he is our friend, he wants to be our best friend, when we are in direct prayer and communication with him, it gives us a strength and a power that supersedes our physicalities in terms of weakness and in our mind thought and our set in our minds, because he gives us strength in our thoughts because we are connected to the one. So back to your original question.
Does God impose his will on us? Does he?
God is not a God. We want to try to make God seem like he's a tyrant. He's really not a tyrant. He's a God of love. He understands us. That's why he allowed himself to come here to experience everything that man experienced. Remember, there was a point that he even said, is there anything good? He was talking about us men too, but because he has a love for us that supersedes our humanistic love, it supersedes that. And just like us as parents, we have been given that same ability because we love our children regardless. If they go out there and do something really heinous, it hurts us. It grieves us. But we still, that's my child, I got to do. And you've even said on your show, if someone does something to your child, if a man puts his hand on you have already said, I will go and do such and such and such unto him. That's the way God feels about us. When the enemy comes and does things to us, he wants to go. Not only does he want to go and do harm to the enemy, but he says, I will. That's why he says, vengeance is mine, not yours. And so, yes, all these things are put into place because we cannot have the mind of Christ. We can only see the examples that he's put forth in front of us. And the example is so perfect that if we just follow the path and the example and the blueprint, we are guaranteed forever lasting life. Adam and Eve had the blueprint. They had it in their hands. But because he loves us, you think God didn't know that the devil was going to come and talk to you? He was there. He was listening, watching. He was aware.
All right, we're going to ask you to stand by, Sir Ben. We're going to ask you to stand by. Demon Slayer, thank you for your patience. Thank you for joining us. Welcome to tonight's broadcast. We're almost out of time. Demon Slayer, all right, perhaps he's just listening in. All right, let me go ahead. Demon Slayer. Demon Slayer, okay, I'm trying to get this question answered also. There's an inference. When Jesus was teaching the disciples to pray, and he said, lead us not into temptation. Why, in your opinion, it's only an opinion, Why did he put that in there, in your opinion?
I think Ben had a good reference to it, so I agree with him totally on it. So I think when you're kind of down and you're going through trials and tribulations, I think that's when the devil attacked you the most. And I think you got to really have that spirit of God to really make it through tough times and always keep the Lord close to you.
All right, we're going to ask you to stand by. We're going to ask you to stand by. Shield of Faith, let me bring you in for some reason. All right. Okay. If I'm saying to you all, if I'm saying to you in my sovereign power, you know, I mean, there's certain things that I can do. Let's say that I have employees, and it's like, okay, if you I'm going to give you choices of paths to take, three doors to choose. Whereas it's not the best door to choose from. I'm hoping that you'll choose one of the doors, but I'm letting you know one of these doors are not good.
Mm-hmm.
But you decide. You have free choice to choose whichever door. So now the question becomes, I say, if I were you all, I would be praying that I don't lead you all with my sovereign power into temptation of behind one of those doors. Isn't that, those words right there, what I just said, isn't that an inference or a suggested thought that I could lead you down the path of one of those doors into temptation?
Mm-hmm.
The faith.
That's a difficult question. I guess you could.
Okay, all right. So when Jesus was praying that prayer, is it an inference or suggestive thought that we could be led into temptation? And I heard Patricia say earlier that he doesn't tempt us. But then is there a difference between a temptation or a tempting versus a test? Was it that Adam and Eve were tested?
God doesn't tempt us. Satan does, just like what she said.
Okay, so where does the test come in? Are we not, we've said on the shows before that God tests us. Does he not test us? Was it not a test for Adam and Eve?
There's a difference in being tested and tempted.
All right. What's the difference?
Okay, so you're gonna be tested to see if you can stand up to do what's right or make the choice to do what's right. When you're tempted, there's something in front of you that you want. I don't know.
Okay.
That's probably not a great example.
That's pretty good. It is actually pretty good. But you know what? We're clearly out of time, you all, on this one tonight. In fact, we're going to continue this one here in a part two. It won't be next week. But the question becomes, does God impose his will on us? Because many times on this very show, many of us who are saying that God does not impose his will on us have said that in previous shows. And tonight, it's been altered for some reason that we're saying that God does impose his will on us. We're going to continue this one here. We're completely out of time. I want to thank all of you all for joining us tonight. We do apologize at the beginning of the top of the hour for the technical difficulty that we had in trying to get on. Listen, we'll be back here tomorrow morning at 6:30 until 8:30 a.m. 6:30 a.m. until 8:30 a.m. You don't want to miss tomorrow morning's show. Tomorrow morning's topic is, there is none like you. There is none like you. Join us tomorrow morning for our International Divine Intervention Day when we have a special speaker that will be bringing us a 20-minute inspirational word. So until tomorrow morning or until next week, I want to say to my listening audience around the world, good night, God bless, and thank you, God. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night. Good night.
Night.
Good night, everyone.
Stay safe and stay well, everyone. Good night. Matt Baxter, Dr.
God
Walker.
God bless you. God bless you, Demon Slayer.
God bless you, too, Dr. Walker.
God bless you. Love you all. Love you all. Take care.
I'm going to have to make it my personal desire.